Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. The Pentagon says the VA understated the number of active duty members of the military who had personal data compromised during a burglary last month at the VA employee's home. The VA had said up to 50,000 Navy and National Guard troops and no other active duty personnel were affected by the burglary, but a Pentagon document distributed to Congress says, in fact, the theft included personal data from more than 1.1 million active duty troops from all services, along with more than 1 million National Guard and Reserve personnel. The data includes names, birth dates, and Social Security numbers. Meanwhile, today, a coalition of veterans groups taking the VA to court over the theft of those Social Security numbers and other personal information. The class action lawsuit against the federal government, the second since the Department of Veterans Affairs revealed that the laptop computer and the disks were stolen in a break-in at the employee's home. The suit alleges the VA was arrogant and reckless by failing to make even rudimentary efforts to safeguard the information. The attorney for the veterans group says the lawsuit demands the VA fully disclose which military personnel are affected, and it asks for $1,000 in damages for each person. That would total more than $26 billion. For the third time in recent days, George Bush again promoting a constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage. The White House issued a new statement today saying the Bush administration believes the future of marriage in America should be decided through the democratic constitutional amendment process, rather than by court orders. The Senate resumed debate, but when the vote comes tomorrow, it's expected to be defeated. Opponents, including most Democrats and a few Republicans, call the amendment divisive and intrusive. The House today considered a tenfold increase in the penalties the government could impose for TV or radio indecency. The top fine for each violation would jump from $32,500 to $325,000. A deadly day in eastern Afghanistan, the U.S. military saying two coalition soldiers killed by a roadside blast. A spokesperson says they were conducting security operations when the bomb exploded, wounding a third soldier and an Afghan interpreter. At least two dozen American and British veterans gathered in Normandy to mark the 62nd anniversary of D-Day. Hundreds of others joined them, remembering the Allied invasion that helped free France from Nazi Germany's grip. Former Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge and the U.S. Ambassador laid a wreath at an American cemetery. This is Air America Radio.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. We've been talking here for the past 30 minutes or so with George Williams, also known as Loki. He is a blogger out of New Orleans who let the rest of the world know what was going on in that city when Katrina hit. We wanted to have Loki on tonight because this is the first day of the 2006 hurricane season. The city of New Orleans is still devastated. You heard just a second ago, Loki said about 16% of the city has been, or the damage has been repaired or replaced, whatever. They're still finding bodies buried in. It's just unbelievable what happened on the coast of the United States less than a year ago. Astonishing. Some of those images I will never be able to get over them. Loki, we're talking about blame and responsibility, and chuckle nuts being, as far as I'm concerned, the primary, the person who had primary responsibility. What about the debate that's on now about whether the psychopath that runs Homeland Security, Chertoff, should bear more responsibility than the utterly useless Michael Brown?
Well, all I have to say about Homeland Security is I'm looking out my window at my homeland, and I'm in the middle of one of the best restored zones, and I'm looking at a 10-foot pile of rubble that used to be the interior of the house across the street. My homeland doesn't feel very secure. And from what I gather, the folding of FEMA into Homeland Security was one of the things that led to the underfunding of FEMA and the appointment of an idiot whose only qualifications were running the Arabian Horse Association, our dear Brownie. Mm-hmm. Everything that has come out of the federal administration has been with an eye towards looking good in the public eye but not actually achieving anything down here. Real funny, I doubt that if it hit Jeb Bush's territory that the response would have been this slow or this, shall we say, useless across the board. Bush probably would have come back from vacation. Cheney probably would have cut short his 5 or 6 days right after the storm hit when he was out buying that multi-million dollar house. Maybe he'd possibly have done something about the people down here losing theirs. Condi Rice might not have spent all of her time purchasing shoes while on vacation, while international aid coming to us from people like Hugo Chavez. Hugo Chavez sending aid to the United States, and that can't even get into the country because Condi's buying shoes on Fifth Avenue and won't come off vacation to sign the paperwork necessary for them to come into the country.
I mean, what can I say? It just goes on and on. It does not let up. What happened to New Orleans? Who's responsible? The unmitigated disaster and the way it continues. It's still a disaster. Let me ask you about the just completed race for the mayor's office down there. What do you think of Nagin? A. B. Do you support Mary Landrieu? And C. What about Governor Blanco?
All right. Well, let's start off with Blanco. As far as I'm concerned, the woman should be barred from ever holding office again.
Really?
Well, one little detail that gave the feds a loophole as far as being tardy down here is a little thing called the Posse Comitatus, which clearly delineates the division of powers between state governments and national governments. Now, in order for federal people to come in, they have to have a written request, which these days can be an email, and we all know how simple those are to send.
Well, now, you're referring to law enforcement, federal law enforcement. That Posse Comitatus goes back to the end of the Civil War.
Yeah. So all why right. was she sitting in an office in Baton Rouge looking at sunny skies before the storm hits and not aware enough of her job and how to do it to make a written request? She phoned it in, which gave them the opening to go, oh, well, we can't until we get the official invite.
What was she supposed to do, Loki? I have no idea.
A written request for the federal presence to come in and
take
charge.
It has to be a written request.
It has to be written. And like I said, these days, that's an email. It takes just as long to write an email, a short, quick, send help, this is an official request tag from the governor's office, as it does to make a phone call and get through the barriers of operators to get through the proper department. The email probably is 10 times quicker.
Is Blanco stupid or evil?
I do not believe that she's inherently evil. I think she's inept.
You know, okay, that's a good middle ground. And Ray Nagin, what's your take on him? Obviously, he's going to be, another 4 years now he's going to be mayor. Is this guy for real, or is he, I don't know, I get a weird feeling around him. Didn't he used to be a Republican, or?
I can't speak to whether or not he used to be Republican. Ray is an odd one, you know. In a number of ways, I'm dead against him. You know, I think that he definitely needs a speechwriter to censor his commentary before he makes comments like Chocolate City and such. However, by the same token, I've got to give Ray props. He made Contraflow work. He has lost his cool on the air in front of the reporters. But you know what? I stood up and applauded when he said, get your asses down here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He really needed to do that. The thing about Ray, you look at Ray. Ray is a good old New Orleans boy, but he's not a part of the good old New Orleans political establishment.
Right, right.
I really don't think that it would have made a huge amount of difference which one of the two of them got into office, because they're very similar. They have very similar views on a lot of things. They're both bald. They're both in the political field, which means they're basically reprehensible to begin with. But the thing about it is, the main difference as far as who got into office and how it affects us is how we're going to get castigated in the national media.
Yeah.
With Ray in office, we're going to be held up as being led by a buffoon, voted in by a group of people who obviously have no learning curve.
Yeah.
If Landrieu had made it into office, we would be the poster city for the massive disenfranchisement of African Americans in the modern age. Either way, we're going to get it with both barrels. Because it's easier to castigate us in the media and talk about what we're doing wrong than talk about the things that should be being done, that should be happening, that have been lacking on state, local, and most especially federal levels across the board.
Yeah, true. Let me ask you about some of the comments that were made after following Katrina. The Bush talking about he couldn't wait to sit on Trent Lott's porch over in Mississippi, probably having the Negroes sing songs to him as they sat there and drank mint juleps once Trent Lott's house was rebuilt. Tom DeLay's comments about the kids who had just had their entire lives permanently altered, their homes blown away, maybe they lost relatives, they are now refugees. I know they didn't like that term, but they were essentially refugees in their own country. And then Tom DeLay makes some snot-ass comment about were they having fun at camp. Or the mother of all sick presidents, Barbara Bush, her comments about how the Ninth Ward victims were over in Houston in the Astrodome were better off without their shabby homes. Or Pickles Bush, George's wife, didn't know the correct name of the hurricane. Now, all of that, how was that absorbed or seen by the community that you're in touch with?
Well, we don't feel like we're part of America anymore.
Ouch.
I mean, a third of this country owes its existence to the Louisiana Purchase. Bottom line, and we down here, we have had our entire city burnt down around us with one building left standing during the Spanish rule. We survived Betsy. We survived Katrina. And we're going to make it through this. And it's really gotten to be we're a city with abandonment issues right now in a big way.
God.
No one here thinks that the federal government gives a rat's ass about us across the board.
Well,
and that includes a lot of diehard Republicans down here.
Yeah. All right. Let me take another break. And I want you, can you stick around for one more short segment? Because I still have two questions to ask you. Okay?
As long as you want me.
All right. Just stay where you are, Loki. We'll be back in a second. We're talking with George Williams, also known as Loki, one of the bloggers who stayed in contact with the outside world when Katrina hit 10 months ago. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
There ought to be zero tolerance of looting. It's very important for the citizens in all affected areas to take personal responsibility and assume kind of a civic sense of responsibility.
When the levee breaks, have no place to stay. listening to the best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Look at your radio. Kind of cool, right? From somewhere far, far away, progressive voices are beamed directly to wherever you are on Air America Radio. You know, there's so much to say. We've tried archiving previous shows inside that radio of yours. We've tried stuffing it full of video feeds of Al Franken, Jerry Springer, The Majority Report, and more. But that part doesn't seem to be working. So the really great stuff that won't fit inside your radio is available right now from Air America Premium. We tried stuffing the homepage in your radio, but that didn't work either. So please use your computer instead. Find out about Air America Premium today at airamericaradio.com.
My one favorite spread has been Smart Balance Buttery Spread. I'm Bob Harris, and I've got another favorite spread that I think you'll love. It's new Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter. It contains no hydrogenated oil, no trans fatty acid, no refined sugar, all natural ingredients, and 1,000 milligrams of omega-3s per serving. New Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter with 1,000 milligrams of omega-3. We deep roast premium quality peanuts to make it taste great.
In people's eyes and not see them all bloodshot.
Oh, Jesus Christ. 21 past the hour. More Bush comments on the aftermath of Katrina. All right, we're talking with George Williams, who is known as Loki. HumidCity.com is the blog site or the website. And he was one of the people who blogged New Orleans into the aftermath of Katrina in New Orleans into the consciousness of the world. Loki, we only have a couple of minutes left. Two quick questions. There are still thousands of people homeless and unemployed. A lot of people have just not even come back to New Orleans. The area is obviously horrendously economically depressed, probably worse than during the Great Depression in this country. And depressing. Insurance companies now won't renew policies. I'm sure that a huge chunk of the population of New Orleans is suffering from some kind of post-traumatic stress disorder. In knowing the city and the energy down there, what has been the biggest fallout in the Katrina aftermath? You know, whether it's economic or social or emotional, what?
The displacement really is it. I mean, if you're home, three out of four people you know are gone. And in an extremely social culture like ours, that's an amazing hit. That and the psychological impact of, the psychological impact of being surrounded by the aftermath every day. The main reason that a lot of the areas are clean and the thing that's going to pull us through is because groups of residents have banded together and have been doing things. The Katrina crew is a group of people that have gotten together, numbering up now at about 2,000, that twice a week pick a 10-square block strip of a street and clean up all the rubble. And that's where most of it has gotten cleaned up from. Think New Orleans, which is working on teaching civic leaders and activist groups how to use blogging and web publishing platforms to communicate and organize down here. But it really comes down to, you know, the complete disruption of the social network,
mm-hmm.
and the no, you can be very cheerful. It is livable. It's just insane, and everyone around here is aware of the fact that none of us are quite right. No matter who you are, you have moments where you're in tears.
Well, the closest thing that I can compare it to is an old film that I have seen of people in Europe from the major cities in Europe after immediately after World War II,
mm-hmm.
Whether they were in Eastern or Western Europe, people just wandering around with rubble and destruction. Now, I realized New Orleans was not, you know, bombed by the Allies or the Axis or the Germans, but That kind of sense.
That's a very valid comparison.
Yeah, well, your term, displacement. They even had a term for people like that at the end of World War II. They were called DPs, or displaced mm-hmm. persons.
Yeah, well, we were, and the people that are gone, even though some may argue with it, are refugees. We were forcibly displaced our home.
Well, to me, by any definition, that's a refugee. What needs to be done, not just in New Orleans, but and we're running out of time here, but in mm-hmm. other vulnerable areas to prepare for this hurricane season or another one of these monster storms?
Well, first of all, we need something that we lack, which is efficiency and honesty in the governmental systems that are supposed to provide support in situations like this.
Yeah.
Another thing we need to do is we need to look at why the Dutch can protect an entire nation that's below sea level and we can't manage to protect a port.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the argument that New Orleans is below sea level and that's why we shouldn't rebuild doesn't hold a lot of water when you consider the majority of the world's ports are all below sea level.
Mm-hmm.
And if we shut down, that wrecks the entire American economy. So enlightened self-interest, if nothing else, should have people charging up to go, how do we fix this? How do we prevent it from happening? I hope to God we find a way to keep it from happening before the San Andreas goes or Mount St. Helens pops up again or any place where this might happen mm-hmm. with, say, a Democratic governor.
Yeah, I hear you. I should know the answer to this question, but it just popped into my head when you were talking. New Orleans was one of the busiest, if not the busiest, port in America. What has happened to all that port traffic? Was it shifted to Houston? Was it shifted where?
You know, I'm not certain where it was shifted to. I do know that the one thing that people have managed to make sure is up and running is the port infrastructure. From what I gather from speaking with a friend of mine who works in construction, who I actually do some work for, because I've got to swing a hammer and put things back together as well, or I don't feel good about myself.
Yeah.
He said that the port infrastructure is back up to about 80%, and that was the first and main thing focused on. Kind of like when Bush came down for his speech, Jackson Square got manicured, it got cleaned up, it got lights, there wasn't anything else around anywhere near
that,
it.
That was one of the eeriest images that I have seen on television in a long time, simply because of the fact that I have partied very hardy in Jackson Square, and to see that surreal image of this ghastly ghost George Bush standing there. Hey, listen, Loki, I really appreciate your taking time to talk to us. Thanks a lot. And without trying to sound trite, best of luck, okay?
Hey, y'all don't forget us, and if you make it down to New Orleans, I'm buying you a drink.
You are indeed. Thanks a lot, Loki. If you want to see more about this, more information, go to humidcity.com and check it out. You'll find information on projects like the Hurricane Digital Memory Bank and the New Orleans Oral History Project. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us.
The best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Entrepreneur. Smart word. So smart, it's almost a different language. Look it up. Here at Budget Rent-A-Car, we admire entrepreneurs, and not just for their bilingual skills, but also for their courage, and for the big thinking they show by opening a small business and joining the Budget Business Program. Yes, the Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. That's $2 back every day. No wonder Budget won the 2006 Entrepreneur Magazine Business Travel Award as the best car rental value for small businesses. Such an entrepreneur thing to do. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business to sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent Budget and rent like a genius.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought. Change the air you breathe. An Oreck Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. I know. Who's he? I'm the guy with a new show on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace. Now, why would Headline News give me a show?
Maybe because politically correct really isn't in my vocabulary.
It's time somebody says what we're all thinking, from politics to pop culture. Every night, Headline News sets me loose, not to save the world, just to look for some common sense. Watch me, Glenn Beck, every night on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace.
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's about 26 before the hour. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s lengthy article in Rolling Stone about the 2004 election being stolen. I have not read the article yet. I know what it's about, but I haven't read it yet. I think it's entirely clear at this point that the 2000 election was stolen, and a very good chance that the 2006 and the 2008 elections will be stolen. So I'm going to ask if you have some comments about Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s article in Rolling Stone. Let's hold off on that topic until tomorrow. If that's what you've called in about, Dee will chat with you again here and reset your topic to something else, because I haven't read it yet, and I just don't want to come across as half-prepared or unprepared to discuss this. We're also going to try to get either Bobby Jr. or Mike Papantonio, the two co-hosts of Ring of Fire on this network on the weekends, to get them on as a guest, possibly tomorrow. Not tomorrow night? Okay, maybe the first of next week. Okay. So we'll be talking about this tomorrow night, Bobby Kennedy's critique, I guess is the way to put it, about the 2004 election. Primarily what happened in Ohio, how at least approaching 500,000 voters in Ohio were denied ballot access, their votes were not counted. I don't want to get started on that topic, because I get furious. I go out of my mind when I think about what this filthy Bush administration has done, whether it's New Orleans or the attack against Iraq or the theft of the election, or the corruption of everything about this society, as often as we kind of teeter on the edge in this consumer-driven, crazed, gimme, gimme, gimme society. You know, 6% of the population, 25% of the sucking up of energy resources on this planet. You know, we're an outrageous population to begin with. We just are. We're an outrageously selfish population to begin with. But to see that we can't even transcend that to a degree with the kind of leadership that we've got, to try to at least stop the exploitation of other people, at least stop the slaughter of other people. I just can't get into it tonight. I really can't. But let's do some let's get some comments here about what you heard with the conversation with Loki. I just think it was certainly enlightening to me. I would hate to be at this point a resident of New Orleans. I realize that a lot of people down there are energized and are doing their damnedest to try to bring that city back. I don't know that I have the energy. Let's go to Jeannie, who is calling from New Orleans. Jeannie, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Jeannie.
I was just listening. I didn't catch the whole, you know, of Mr. Loki's comments. I did, most of what he said was pretty right on, but I guess I had to call and disagree with his comments about Governor Blanco.
Really? What's your take on that?
Well, I think that she did what she could. I know that prior to the storm hitting, she called for a state of emergency. I know that she made requests, and I think he's, you know, unless he can show me something, but everything I've read, in fact, the Advocate, the Baton Rouge newspaper, because I was displaced in Baton Rouge for 2 months,
mm-hmm.
and the paper there, you know, I know everybody's heard about the buses
right.
that didn't show up, and when she called, she was told they were there, and when she called for them, they were hours away.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think what Loki...
I just disagree with, you know, I think that, you know, like I said, I didn't hear everything,
right.
but I disagreed with his comments on Blanco, and I think it bothers me. I'm not saying this is Mr. Loki, behind Mr. Loki's feelings, but the governor we had before Governor Blanco, Mike Foster, was a Republican
mm-hmm.
who did practically nothing his entire term but go duck hunting and offer the Saints more money than the state could afford to keep them here.
Yeah.
And here's Governor Blanco has worked so hard trying to bring industry and jobs into the state.
Well, Jeannie,
much more than him.
Jeannie, yeah. I think the point Loki was trying to make was simply that in requesting federal assistance, and obviously Loki was irritated by this, but in requesting federal assistance, for whatever reason, Governor Blanco did not do it the right way, and I think just the fact that there was a right way to do it in an emergency like that, who in the hell cares if it's a phone call, an email,
exactly.
or a letter? You understand
exactly.
what I'm saying?
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
She called for a state of emergency, but she requested things, and if she did it in the wrong way, like
yeah.
you said, it's ridiculous. They knew what we needed. They knew what she was asking for.
Well, how are you doing now? You still live in New Orleans, or you're in Baton
Rouge? We're back. We were very lucky. We came back at the end of October. I live right off of City Park Avenue in Mid-City. And if you're from New Orleans, you know that we're the one street off of City Park Avenue. And mm-hmm. City Park Avenue is a dividing line between Mid-City and Lakeview. So mm-hmm. that's how close we are to Lakeview. We're across the street.
Wow.
But our block, apparently is very high because the water literally stopped two doors in each direction.
Oh my goodness. Well, how do you...
My husband didn't. I evacuated my parents and he stayed with the house.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to, you know, be evacuated.
All right, today's the first day of the official start of the 2006 hurricane season. Are you nervous? Are you confident that Army Corps of Engineers has fixed those levees? Tell me how you feel about this.
Well, I'm being optimistic that we won't get hit that hard because 2 years in a row. Now, maybe mm-hmm. I'm being foolish, but I know usually when hurricanes come, they kind of move a little bit to one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a little, you know, disconcerting that they haven't built the levees up to the point I don't think they should be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really distressed that the federal government doesn't seem to think this is a priority. But,
yeah, and I think they made that very clear. It may be a
yeah.
priority to the scavengers that are coming in there, like Halliburton and Kellogg Brown.
Oh,
and Britain,
yeah.
But not to the people who live there. Is it difficult being a citizen of New Orleans now that everything has changed?
It's different. We're very lucky because, like I said, the few blocks around us, most of the people are back.
Mm-hmm.
But then if I drive a few blocks down, the lights, just like Mr. Loki said, the lights laying on the neutral ground.
Mm-hmm.
And a few blocks in the other direction, there are no lights. But I never did lose a day of work. I was very lucky. I worked
mm-hmm.
for a union. Didn't lose a day of work because I was stranded at the Union Hall in Baton Rouge, and we immediately set to finding members and people and worked in cooperation with the Blue Cross, trying to help get the Blue Cross help out to people. And,
what is Blue Cross?
I'm sorry. I'm at Red Cross.
Oh, Red Cross. Okay.
Red Cross.
I think what you're referring to, you don't want to be considered living in a red state. You're a blue stater.
Maybe it's just wishful thinking. Huh?
I guess so. So you're okay?
Oh, we're fine.
Your family, everybody in
well,
your...
Well, you know, a lot of people lost stuff. My husband's brothers and aunt, and they lost everything. One lived in Chalmette, one lived in Slidell, one lived near the lake.
Mm.
My family did fine, except for the one son that lived in Lakeview. But he's
mm-hmm.
okay now.
But with all these family members and in-laws who were so devastated, how do you all, you know, just... take care of each other, the emotional needs, how do you deal with that?
Well, you know, it was so different because I lived in Baton Rouge for 2 months in a house that the Union Hall helped us to find and we rented, and I lived with my husband's aunt
mm-hmm.
and brother and sister and her roommate that I have, you know, just other than seeing them for holidays. So
mm-hmm.
we had to, it was a whole different experience,
sure.
and now it's all split up because some have found property and moved, and some are still in Baton Rouge. It was the hardest part was being 200 miles away and watching it on TV.
Yeah, Yeah.
I can't even describe how that felt. It was pretty horrible. But mm-hmm. and to think of all the people who lost so much more than us. We're just so lucky. We came home to a house and a job. There's a lot of people that still don't have that and don't even know when they're going to have that.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's different driving home because and when I drive home after dark a few times when I've had to go through Lakeview because it's so near to us and it's to drive through there and there's not even, you know, drive through without even street lights. It's like dead, just blocks away.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It does worry me at times. If I let myself think about it, then I worry that the city won't come back. And this election that just happened, I don't fault Mayor Nagin for what happened during the storm,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like he has done nothing practically. I mean, we're lucky. We got a garbage picked up today the first time in 2 weeks.
Well, let's hope that he gets motivated given you know what he went through politically. Hey, listen, Jeannie, thanks for checking
okay,
in.
I
appreciate
you.
What you had to say, and thanks for the first person account. Take care, okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America.
Listening to the best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Hey, this is Rachel Maddow, host of The Rachel Maddow Show here on Air America Radio, and I want to encourage you to help take back America's future on June 12th. Join me from June 12th to June 14th when the Campaign for America's Future, in partnership with Air America Radio, hosts the 2006 Take Back America Conference in Washington, D.C. The conference brings together thousands of progressive activists, thinkers, and leaders like Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, Robert Redford, Harry Reid, Russ Feingold, and many others to discuss the ideas, hone the message, train the organizers, and help build the infrastructure we need to ensure that the voice of the progressive majority is heard. I'll be there. Register online today for the Take Back America Conference, June 12th through 14th in Washington, D.C. Log on to airamericaradio.com or visit www.ourfuture.org to sign up for this important conference. Please join me and register today so we can make a difference and help take back America's future.
Life's too short to listen to right-wing radio. It's more of Mike Malloy.
I don't mean a thing, just lock your doors and drive around.
Back to your calls here. Rex is calling from New Orleans. Rex, welcome to the program.
Yeah, two things. For your information as to why Nagin got reelected, it was because all the white Republicans went for him because they hate Landrieu, and he got about 25% of their vote, which means now he's beholden to them. For the same reason, about 20% of the blacks voted for Landrieu because they thought that therefore he'd be beholden to them. So that's it was the white conservative uptown business vote that put Nagin over the top. But the one thing that's going under the radar screen here that nobody seems to think about, for the first time in the history of the United States, 80% of the land mass of one of the large, most major American cities is going to be decided by unelected, appointed mid-level bureaucrats in FEMA and the Corps of Engineers in combination with private insurance companies in the setting of these flood level elevations and what the insurance companies will or will not therefore insure. And what this is going to, what they're doing is setting them such that it's going to cost so much. Now remember, they've already paid taxes to have the levees fixed, right?
Right, right.
Okay. Now they're saying, despite the levees, you've got to elevate these homes 8-10 feet. Now, if you take a 4,000-square-foot brick home, I mean, you're talking about astronomical. What they're doing in effect, and the insurance companies refusing to insure unless they do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which means you can't get a mortgage or sell it, resell it, or anything else. What that's going to do is wipe out huge sections of the city that won't be able to rebuild. Which means, guess what? It means that the current owners will be bought out or have to leave, and then that leaves the way open for guess who?
Mm-hmm.
And the point is that there's no vote, no state legislature, no national legislature like either house of the Congress. Nobody's taken a vote on this. It's the whole thing is going to be driven by mid-level bureaucrats in FEMA, the Corps of Engineers, and private insurance companies.
It's incredible. I don't know how anyone who is a homeowner or holds a mortgage or held a mortgage prior to the storm. I don't know how y'all are going to survive it. I don't know, and I'm sure folks in New Orleans feel the same way. If you can't get insurance, you're not going to get a mortgage lender who will provide the money. It just looks.
And then they have to sell under distress.
Right. And it looks to me like what is being set up here is one of the most monumental ripoffs of private property owners or renters and people who live.
Oh, exactly. Oh, small businessmen that own the businesses in those areas.
Yeah, just a horrendous situation that is, one more example. I'm sorry, but I'm going to, I asked Loki where the blame rests. To me, it rests on national leadership in this country. That just is not.
Oh, I totally agree. Look, I'm from Illinois, and I've been a lifelong Republican all my life. But when that fat sack of pus, Dennis Hastert, all right, when he said, "Don't know why we should rebuild," and then on top of that, to talk about the corruption down here, the state of Illinois, okay,
yeah.
Chicago, okay. Listen, I have a plaque on my wall from as an Illinois state scholar. In high school, from none other than Otto J. Kerner, former governor, former brigadier general in the Army Reserves, former federal judge,
Kerner
who's now
Commission?
Guess what? In the federal slammer, or I think he died there for taking raking off money off the top of Arlington Racetrack.
I know it's.
But you probably don't know this. I'm 62 years old. I go way back. Okay, I'm an old geezer, early geezer, or whatever. The point is. In around 59, 60, whatever, the Secretary of State of Illinois, who was a Republican, by the way, a guy named Paul Powell, had the unfortunate circumstance to die in his hotel room in Springfield while the legislature was in session. And when they searched his room, inventory his room, took the body away, underneath his bed they found $189,000 in a shoebox, okay, which in today's money, I don't know how many millions that would be, but the point is that forever now, that forevermore, you can't say his name without saying Shoebox Paul Powell. Okay. So, you know, Illinois, I mean, Louisiana, there are plenty of other states, New Jersey maybe, or, so when Hastert said that, I just practically went straight up and bent left.
I hear you. I hear you. Hey, Rex, I have to leave it there.
Sure, right. Understand.
Thanks a lot. Good luck down there. I don't mean to sound cavalier, but good luck. I hope y'all are
all
okay.
Need it. Trust me.
All right, sir. Take care. Take care. Can we squeeze? No, we're out of time, aren't we? No, we're not. No, we're not. Connie is calling from Illinois. Hey, Connie. Rex was just talking about the state of Illinois. How are you?
Hi. Fine.
Hey.
It's good to talk to you.
My pleasure.
I was just giving another introspect into the thing with the, you know, the insurance.
Right.
Wind and water insurance doesn't cover each other, and they fight with each other. We have a property in Florida that got hit by Charlie, and a lot of other people got hit by Charlie. There are still people who are still fighting about this, you know, 2 years later.
Oh, I know, I know. In South Carolina, you said Florida, right?
Yeah, we're
in Florida. In South Carolina, there are still, in North Carolina, people who are waiting for some sort of a settlement. And of course, a lot of people say, well, you shouldn't build in a high-risk area. Well, what the hell? The entire country's a high-risk area. Connie, I have to leave it there. Thanks for checking in. We'll be back after the break, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
2 years ago, I had a heart attack right here in our restaurant. If it weren't for Bayer aspirin and some quick thinking on my son's part, who knows? To me, Bayer's an amazing thing. I mean, just think about it. The same Bayer aspirin my son takes for his backaches and my daughter for headaches helped save my life. Bayer's an important part of this family. Always will be. It truly is a wonder drug.
Genuine Bayer aspirin, working wonders every day. Aspirin taken as directed by a doctor during a suspected heart attack. Use as directed.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. I know. Who's he? I'm the guy with a new show on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace. Now, why would Headline News give me a show?
Maybe because politically correct really isn't in my vocabulary.
It's time somebody says what we're all thinking, from politics to pop culture. Every night, Headline News sets me loose, not to save the world, just to look for some common sense. Watch me, Glenn Beck, every night on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace.
Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. The U.S. Military Command says it has officially handed over responsibility for patrolling a volatile part of Iraq to an Iraqi Army unit. Iraq's 1st Army Division, now in control of security for an area in the Sunni Arab province of Anbar between the cities of Ramadi and Fallujah. The U.S. command says it's the 1st Division-level transfer of territory there. 4 Iraqi brigades and 9 Iraqi battalions are also assigned territory there as well. Officials say coalition forces will still provide the Iraqi division with assets such as medical evacuation and fire support. Iraq's prime minister has said he wants to take security control for Iraq away from the U.S.-led forces within 18 months. At least 30 deaths have been reported across Iraq today. A car bomb exploded outside a Shiite funeral in Baghdad, killing at least 4, wounding 20. Gunmen also killed a student, injured another, and kidnapped 3 more at Baghdad University's business school. In Basra in the south, masked gunmen attacked relatives of a slain Sunni merchant when they went to the morgue to collect his body. 5 killed, 6 wounded. And police found 9 severed heads northeast of Baghdad. The U.S. command says an American soldier was killed after a bomb attack on a military convoy. The military says the soldier from the 49th Military Police Brigade died yesterday after rebel insurgents attacked the vehicle he was riding in. George Bush says Iran's initial response to a package of incentives and threats, quote, sounds like a positive step. Bush said we'll see if the Iranians take the offer seriously. The State Department has said it'll give Iran a little bit of space to consider the package of incentives and threats meant to avert a nuclear standoff. U.S. officials would not talk about the specifics of the package, saying Iran needs time to review it, ask questions in private. But the package reportedly includes a promise of Western technical help in developing peaceful civilian nuclear energy if Iran stops enriching uranium. 10 of the 17 suspects in an alleged terrorist plot in Canada had bail hearings postponed today. 12 suspects are adults, 5 are minors. At least one of the terrorist suspects allegedly was planning to enter Canada's Parliament building and behead officials, including the Prime Minister, if Islamic prisoners in Canada and Afghanistan were not released. The man's lawyer calls it a very serious allegation that his client, quote, has said nothing about. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. Have you been following on the Internet, because I'm not saying this in news reports, there, the Sunday Times of the UK reported this past Sunday about the another U.S. execution, this time in the village of Abu Sifa, near the Iraqi town of Balad. Eyewitness reports here, one night 2 weeks ago, one of the witnesses saw a U.S. helicopter land near his home. The guy I'm talking about, his name is Harat Khalaf. American soldiers stormed out of the Chinook and advanced on a house owned by Khalaf's brother. Firing as they went, Khalaf ran from his own house and hid in a nearby grove of trees. He saw the soldiers enter his brother's home and then heard the sound of women and children screaming. He said last week, then there was a lot of machine gun fire. After that, there was the most frightening sound of all, silence followed by explosions as the soldiers left the house. Once the troops were gone, Khalaf and his fellow villagers began a frantic search through the ruins of his brother's home. Abu Sifa was about to join a lengthening list of Iraqi communities claiming to have suffered from American atrocities. According to Iraqi police, 11 bodies were pulled from the wreckage of the house. Among them, 4 women and 5 children. The children were aged between 6 months and 5 years. An official police report obtained by U.S. reporter for Knight Ridder newspaper said, quote, the American forces gathered the family members in one room and executed 11 people. Now, this incident, along with what happened in Haditha, are being investigated by U.S. authorities. But there are persistent eyewitness accounts of rampaging attacks by American troops in Iraq. And then this, I just got this. This is from the BBC. That was from last Sunday's Times. This is from the BBC. The BBC has uncovered new video evidence that U.S. forces may have been responsible for the deliberate killing, once again, of 11 innocent Iraqi civilians. The video appears to challenge U.S. military's account of events that took place in the town of Ishaki in March. I don't know if these are the same incidences or not. But I heard today in watching, excuse me, I heard today that the U.S. military is ordering a complete stand down of all 130,000 U.S. troops in Iraq, which I believe is unprecedented, a stand down so that the they can receive, U.S. troops can receive ethical training and lessons in what is referred to as core warrior values. The video pictures obtained by the BBC involved an incident that, according to the Americans, a building, after a firefight, collapsed, killing 4 people, including 2 women and a child. The videotape obtained by the BBC shows a number of dead adults and children at the site, with what the BBC's World Affairs editor John Simpson says were clearly gunshot wounds. Jesus Christ. Executing children. It takes an awful lot of dehumanization, doesn't it, to be able to murder little kids, to put bullets into little kids? What the hell is going on? This is unbelievable. The revenge that will be sought by these families against the American invaders will go on for generations. You know that as well as I do, and rightly so, I guess. I mean, I don't know how to respond to this. I don't know how to respond to these continuing reports and evidence. How many investigations are being conducted in Iraq now by the U.S. military of troops who have executed civilians, who round people up, herd them into rooms, and open fire with machine guns and hand grenades? Jesus Christ, these are the kinds of events that, and again, I'll say rightly so, I don't know what else to say. If somebody were to round up my children or my grandchildren and execute them, I would not rest until every one of the sons of bitches were dead or I was dead. It's just that simple. I can be as governed by the reptilian part of my brain and brainstem as the next person. If no mercy is to be shown to me and mine, then I will offer no mercy in return. And I think that is, I don't know how human beings transcend that. I guess Gandhi did, or Jesus did, or MLK did, but I damn sure can't, couldn't, never, I wouldn't even try, And so what is happening to civilians in Iraq who were never butchered like this before, were they? Not like this. Where did I read today that Iraq is becoming a cauldron of horror? Is that on Buzzflash? I don't know, but that phrase is stuck in my head now, a cauldron of horror. And I'm literally getting to the point where when I see Rice or Bush or Rumsfeld or Cheney on television, do you get this feeling? Just a rush, some kind of a probably adrenaline, you know, fight or flight, just a primal rush when I see any of these four on television, when I see their picture, especially the three men, Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Bush. It's scary. It's scary. I dare not say on the air what the feeling is like. I can't. I can't say it. And I cannot believe that I'm the only American who is experiencing this. Obviously not. But this just doesn't stop. It's not stopping. None of it's stopping. This is only murder. Like Molly Ivan said in her most recent column, you know, let's not go there again about the stress of combat on our soldiers. What the hell is the stress of combat mean when you herd women and children, little kids, into a room and then open fire on them? Oh no. Mm-mm. This really is not happening, is it? No, this really is not happening. It can't be. Our military can't. Our soldiers, our young men can't be doing this sort of thing. Just can't. This cannot be happening.
For my dear children, their problems still with love. I pray life's don't need further tempest to bring them home from anywhere. I live my life, my love I gave.
And we're a country of deep compassion. We care. One of the great things about America, one of the beauties of our country, is that when we see a young innocent child blown up by an IED, we cry.
In the great land hereafter life, I'm lonesome for my precious children.
You're listening to the best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
In TV, you need intelligence, integrity, and a camera to cover the news. They've got the camera.
Were we rolling on that?
On what?
Comedy Central's Dog Bites Man premieres tomorrow night at 10:30, 9:30 Central. They're the news team that won't stop until they get the big stories.
Are all bodybuilders bisexual? Is spring break broken?
Well, certain stories are good for Sweeps Week. We've tackled what's in your muffin. Who else is going to go there?
Dog Bites Man premieres tomorrow night at 10:30, 9:30 Central. Only on Comedy Central.
Hi, this is Julia Sweeney. In my new play, Letting Go of God, I come out clearly as an atheist, absolutely committed to keeping church and state separate. Won't you join me and the Freedom From Religion Foundation in waking up America to the growing dangers of theocracy? Phone 1-800-335-4021, that's 1-800-335-4021, or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. That's ffrf.org.
Flying monkey right blues, here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. What I mentioned at the top of the program tonight, I know you weren't here, but about three articles, two articles and one op-ed piece in today's Times. Yesterday, the Bush administration said that the United States will engage itself with Iran in talks over its nuclear program. I'm pretty much quoting out of the Times. But only if Tehran first suspended its uranium activities, which are thought to be a cover for developing nuclear arms. This declaration by Condoleezza Rice was a shift away from decades of refusal to hold direct talks with Iran. But Iran has said it would not agree to preconditions, and the Bush administration's offer appeared to be aimed as much at placating American allies as at wooing Iran. So what has happened here, Bush and Condoleezza Rice made the offer, and she said that the offer now removed what she calls the last excuse for Iran to refuse to cooperate. What the offer is, this is of course it's insane. But the offer says that we'll sit down and talk to you about your nuclear program. But before we sit down and talk to you about your nuclear program, you've got to suspend your nuclear program. Iran has to suspend all of its uranium activities, everything. Everything has to be shut down, turned off, everything. Every single thing has to be brought to a complete halt. And the Bush crime family knows that the Iranians won't accept that. They know it. Iran has to suspend all of its activities regarding a nuclear anything, including shutting down every centrifuge that could add little grams of enriched uranium to Iran's, cup-sized stockpile so far. Now, to give you a flavor of how degenerate and insane the world sees George W. Bush, the Europeans and the Japanese said they were elated by Mr. Bush's turnaround. Oh, he's offered to talk to them. Oh. And even on this basis, according to David Sanger, writing for the Times, there was strong opposition from Dick Cheney. Several former officials said, quote, Cheney was dead set against it, said one former official who sat in many of the meetings. At its heart, this was an argument whether you could isolate the Iranians enough to force some kind of regime change. But three officials who were involved in the most recent iteration of that debate said Mr. Cheney and others stepped aside, perhaps because they read Mr. Bush's body language. Body language. In the end, said one former official who has kept close tabs on the debate, quote, it came down to convincing Cheney and others that if we are going to confront Iran, we first have to check the box of trying talks. These murderous bastards. So those were the two news items. Oh, well, the United States has made an offer to the Iranians. Jesus Christ, everybody in the world, stop what you're doing. You people in deepest, darkest Africa, hunting for food out in your parched little farm plots. Stop. Listen. Bush and Rice have decided to hold talks with Iran. You people in Japan who are tending your flowers on the slopes of Mount Hibachi. Stop. Listen. You people in the Pampas, in the southern part of South America, attending your cows. Stop! Listen! That's the way this is being presented. It's like Christ walking on the water. It's like the star over Bethlehem. Condoleezza Rice and George W. Bush have made an offer to the Iranians. Oh, we'll talk about your nuclear program as soon as you stop your nuclear program. Stop everything. Pull every plug. Pull everything. And prove it. You funny-talking bastards, prove it. This is no offer, truth seeker. You know it and I know it. This is a lie. But guess how David Brooks, this neo-fascist right-wing columnist, very bright man for the New York Times, guess how he spun it? When we come back after this break, I want you to hear what David Brooks wrote. It's really incredible.
Someone who knew, and I'm telling pre-September, I lean on in the loop to help them unremember. I was flying on UA-93, that shadow in the footage, it was probably me. I'm the rumor, I'm the doubt, I'm the lie. But you wouldn't stand near me if you didn't want to die. Everything you know is wrong.
Misinformation.
There's a verse missing out of this song.
Misinformation.
Everything you know is wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong.
The best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Janine Garofalo, and it doesn't matter if you're black, white, gay, straight, male, or female. AIDS has taken its toll on all kinds of people around the world for over 20 years, and it is still everybody's problem. Register for AIDS Walk. Together, we can make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that will help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 100,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals on the iMed and Cigna Dental Networks. Call right now and you can try the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days. That's right, your membership entitles you to full access to the entire Cigna Dental Network and iMed Network for you to try risk-free for 30 days. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Start saving up to 60% off now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
Why do I like working at Verizon? This is a phenomenal place to work in more ways than one. With my team, I'm bringing in the next generation of high-speed internet so that people can work, play, and learn faster and better than ever. My husband and two sons are pretty excited about my job as well. Verizon works with me, so I can have time to do mom things, like watch soccer and host scout meetings. I'm a worker and a mom. I'm Mariana Aguayo, Network Operations Manager. Our people, our network. Verizon. We never stop working for you.
Bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. I love the way you walk.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Okay, so we make an offer to the Iranian, not we, but Condoleezza Rice, speaking on behalf of George W. Bush, the psychopath that squats in the White House. Condoleezza Rice makes an offer to the Iranians. Yeah, we'll talk about your nuclear program as soon as you unplug your nuclear program. Now, there's your last chance. See, world, we've made an offer. Everybody pay attention. And the Europeans and the Japanese and the Chinese and the Russians, oh, good! That's how poverty-stricken our diplomatic efforts to talk with anybody really are. We just bomb and kill or destabilize and overthrow, whatever. So, David Brooks, the Charles Krauthammer of the New York Times got all of just very bizarre today with his column. He writes, yesterday, Condoleezza Rice announced her willingness to talk with Iran about nukes so long as Iran suspended its enrichment program first. As Robert Kagan of the Carnegie Endowment notes, in a swoop, the U.S. has put itself back in front of events. It's taken the initiative away from the Iranians and the Russians. Yesterday's policy shift really began in late April, as Rice returned from a visit to Baghdad and decided it was time to bring the dispute with Iran to a head. The European Union negotiations were dissolving into disharmony and confusion. There were some indications that Iran was accelerating its nuclear program. It was clear that Iran was winning. Rice decided to shake things up. What she had to do, to borrow the metaphor of one senior administration official, was to take the cue ball and smash it into all the other balls on the table and so open up room for future maneuvering. This in itself was a gutsy maneuver, for in deciding to get so active, she was essentially betting her career on her ability to deal with Iran. Quickly, President Bush and Rice agreed upon a course of action that was neither passivity nor bombing. They decided to accelerate the diplomatic process. Bush and Rice concluded that it was necessary to exhaust diplomatic alternatives in order to make international sanctions possible later. The U.S. had to remove everybody else's excuses for inaction. Bush and Rice told their European and Chinese allies they would be willing to talk with Iran so long as it was in the group, so long as the Iranians suspended their enrichment program, so long as the Europeans agreed to really stick by this precondition, and so long as the Europeans, Russians, and Chinese agreed in writing to a menu of sanctions to be imposed if talks never got off the ground. Bush and Rice have created a coherent policy. They have organized the Europeans, the Russians, and the Chinese around that policy. They have put Iran on the defensive and forced the different factions in the regime to argue about what sort of country they wish to become. Even the rollout was masterful. I called experts around the world yesterday afternoon, and all of them seemed to have just gotten off the phone with senior administration officials, and all were positive about what had been achieved. It's still hard to believe the international community can really get its act together, but this display of competence causes me to remember that over the past several weeks, this administration has done a number of things well, like the nominations of Michael Hayden and Henry Paulson, to name just two. That's the short version. What is this man talking about? It's just unbelievable. The whole thrust of David Brooks' column today is utter nonsense. It's crapola. It's just a big stinking heap of garbage. The offer itself is not an offer. It's a deliberate attempt to get the Iranians to say no, which they already have. They rejected it. Iranian officials have rebuffed Ms. Rice's offer of direct talks. This also according to the New York Times, saying they will never accept the condition that they first suspend all Iranian enrichment. Well, of course not. Of course, that was that. This is a dance. This is a dance macabre. These are skeletons dancing around each other with their bony fingers coming out from that drape, that shroud, just dancing, fingers. And you can hear the bones rattling, and it's Bush and Rice, and it's Cheney and Rumsfeld. And you hear it, this danse macabre, this... And David Brooks writes, I don't know, when I finished reading the column, I thought, my God, did he have a handful of Kleenex handy so he could clean himself off after writing this? I don't think I have read anything. The first thought was, it's masturbatory fantasy. And then I thought, no, it's once again, it's what's her name? Monica doing Clinton. I've just had the feeling that when David Brooks got up off his knees from writing this column today, he must have just, how does he keep his self-respect? Rice and Bush. Condoleezza Rice was in Iraq, and she knew she had to do something. Oh, God, let me think. What to do? Let's make them an offer to talk, but let's word the offer in a way that they can't accept it. Oh, Christ, I'm a genius! Oh, this is brilliant! Now let me take it to that white boy, Chucklenuts, who's so in love with my brown butt. Let me take it to him and see what... Yeah, this is going to be easy to convince white boy. And this will save my job. I'm getting so tired of buying shoes. I'm getting so tired of jetting around with that evil, big-headed white man, Cheney. He scares me. But I like George, and George likes me. I just got to get him to sign off on it. This is great. We haven't talked to these Iranians in 30 years. We'll make him an offer. Hey, you want to talk? You do? First, before we sit down to talk, come here, open your mouth, and let me cut out your tongue. And then we'll sit down and talk. Fair enough? What? You're going to reject it? Why, you evil bastards, then we'll bomb you. This is just incomprehensible stuff. We have an out-of-control military that has been ordered, Jesus, God, to stand down. The entire 130,000-member expeditionary force that has invaded Iraq. Has this ever happened before? A stand down to be given a lecture on core warrior values because they're butchering too many children? Oh, not because they're butchering too many, but because word's getting out. Videos are showing up. And here at home, Cheney and Rice and Rumsfeld and Bush are concocting ways to begin another war. Let's make him an offer. Let's make him an offer they can't accept. And the astonishing part is that the Europeans and the Asians, are they that terrified of this sick little bastard in the White House and the people around him? I guess so. They rejoice! The parliaments of the UK and Germany and France and God knows where, everything must have ground to a halt. Have you heard? And they all cock their heads and cup their ears and tilt a little bit to the left. Have you heard? Listen.
Condoleezza Rice and George Bush have made an offer to the Iranians. And in the Japanese diet, and whatever the hell it is in China, they all say, which loosely translates, listen. Bush and Cheney have made an offer. Or Bush and Rice.
And then when you look at the offer, oh, we'll talk to you about your nuclear program, but first unplug everything, destroy everything, dump it all into one of your quaint little rivers over there, and get rid of it, throw it away, okay? All right? You ready to talk? Huh? Yes, we're insane, but we're America. We're a huge asylum over here. Have you heard the latest? We executed another 11 babies. The youngest was 6 months old, and one of our soldiers put a bullet in the back of his head. Want to talk? Want to talk about your nuclear program? Huh? Here, sit down.
I'm sure that Europe is a lovely place to visit. My wife would love to go there every single year. But they're just puppies.
Yep, 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 yep.
They need to stick their yep, the big dogs over here. I will rule the world forever. I'm straight and white and male, American and free.
Condoleezza, check my puppy.
Hello, Riley. Devolt Systems, mass destruction me.
You're listening to the best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Why do I like working here? It's just cool working for a company that's out there with the latest technology. It's given me a chance to learn and grow into a new career. And now, I'm the guy who gets my teammates fired up about bringing Verizon's innovative broadband network to folks around the country. It's just an outstanding place to work. I work hard for Verizon, and Verizon works hard for me. And if my baby could actually talk, I'm pretty sure he'd agree. I'm Ryan Hill, Fios Marketing Manager. Our people, our network. Verizon, we never stop working for you.
Does your vacuum cleaner earn its keep? Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Oreck XL is so powerful it cleans the world's finest hotels, yet it uses one-third as much electricity as most other uprights. Try my Oreck XL risk-free, and I'll give you my $100 cordless iron as a gift. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200. Nobody works harder to give you more value for your money than I do.
Making the pie higher, it's more of Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. Don't forget, tomorrow night, we're going to talk about Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s huge piece in Rolling Stone about the theft of the 2004 election. Tonight, thanks to the folks who engineered the program in New York, Justin Nguyen and Jason Isaac, also our associate producer in New York, Dee Neal, who handled your phone calls. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, our webmaster, Ben Birch, White Rose Society, who archives the program, Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, Catherine Bay is the executive producer. Two years ago, when the Iranians offered one hell of a deal to the Bush crime family, 2.5 years ago, Iran offered to accept peace with Israel and to cut off material assistance to Palestinian armed groups and to pressure those groups to halt terrorist attacks against Israel. That's the, according to a secret Iranian proposal to the United States, a two-page proposal, a copy of which was obtained by Interpress Service, was sent to the United States in late April or early May 2003. A specialist on Iranian foreign policy at Johns Hopkins University School of Advanced International Studies provided the document to Interpress Service. This foreign policy expert got it from an Iranian official earlier this year. The two-page document contradicts the official line of the Bush administration that Iran is committed to the destruction of Israel and the sponsorship of terrorism in the region. But when it was presented to the Americans got pissed off at the people who delivered it. In 2003, Bush refused to allow any response to the Iranian offer to negotiate an agreement that would have accepted the existence of Israel. Flint Leverett, then the senior specialist on the Middle East on the National Security Council staff, recalled in an interview that it was, quote, literally a few days, end quote, between the receipt of the Iranian proposal and the dispatch from the Bush crime family of a message to the Swiss ambassador expressing displeasure that he had forwarded to Washington. This country is being run by people who are literally insane. So 3 years ago, I wonder to what degree the Israeli intelligence knew about this. If somebody in the Bush administration burps, Mossad knows about it. If somebody in Iran writes up a document like this and sends it on through diplomatic channels to the United States, Mossad knows about it. They have to. They must. I'm not passing judgment on the fact that they know about it. I'm just saying they do. The Mossad is not the Department of Homeland Security for the United States. They are not the CIA. They are not FEMA. They are not the NSA. They are not the DIA. Love him or hate him, the Mossad works. So here was the offer 3 years ago. And now this phony, whatever you want to call it, put out there by Condoleezza Rice, the piece today by David Brooks, which is one of the most atrocious things I think I've ever read in the so-called newspaper of record. New York Times ought to be ashamed of itself for publishing an op-ed piece like that without some sort of clarification by the public editor. Maybe just the fact that it's an op-ed piece means that David Brooks can say any damn thing he wants. I'm just being over the top here, because what David Brooks wrote was the op-ed piece equivalent. No, I can't finish that statement. I've already kind of alluded to it. But when all these pieces are put together, are you not getting a little bit nervous, Truth Seeker? I mean, seriously, are you not getting just a tad jumpy around the edges? And I'm not referring to hardcore civil libertarians or people who believe in human rights. You and I have been just blown away by what this filthy crime family has done. But I'm just talking about folks who kind of give passing notice to what's going on. You know, check out the evening news or read the paper, and they see this stuff and go, oh, my God, what's this? And it doesn't stop. It's not stopping. It's not abating. There's no let-up. The entire 130,000-member U.S. military that is illegally occupying another country, Iraq, has been ordered to stand down to get a lecture or a reiteration of core values where it concerns the proper way to kill people and who is to die and the proper way to blow up buildings and which buildings are to be blown up. They're having to tell our soldiers that it is not proper to execute 5-year-old children, 4-year-old children, 6-month-old babies. Is that what this voluntary military is about? Is that where we are? And Rice and Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld want more of this. They want it in Iran now. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Thank you for calling for your risk-free trial of Proactive Solution.
Yeah, what's the catch?
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can try Proactive Solution risk-free and it'll make my acne disappear. Sounds a little too good to be true to me.
Oh, no catch. We're so sure that Proactive Solution will give you beautiful, healthy-looking skin that we're going to let you try it risk-free just to prove it.
Okay, but I've tried a lot of different things for acne before and they always make my skin itchy and flaky.
Well, that's why Proactive uses soothing spa-quality botanicals along with prescription-grade acne medicine to heal, hydrate, and soothe your skin while eliminating both. And redness. Oh, there's one thing I didn't mention.
A catch, right?
We're also going to give you a free refining face mask with your risk-free trial.
Wow, it's free?
To get your risk-free trial of Proactive Solution and free refining face mask, call 1-800-508-5881. For your risk-free trial, call 1-800-508-5881. That's 1-800-508-5881.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser.
President Bush says Iran's initial response to a U.S.-backed incentive program is positive. Iran's chief negotiator said there are some positive points in a proposal from the U.S. and five other world powers to get Tehran to halt its controversial nuclear program. Bush also said he is closely watching developments in Somalia, where rebels recently seized the capital city. He says he wants to make sure Somalia does not become a haven for Al-Qaeda and other terrorists. He made the remarks during a visit to Laredo, Texas, where he pushed his proposals for immigration reform. Five veterans groups are suing the federal government over the theft of a laptop computer containing the personal information of as many as 26.5 million veterans and spouses. Gene Coletta reports.
The lawsuit calls on the Department of Veterans Affairs to disclose whose information may have been compromised. Also, it seeks $1,000 for each person affected, and the groups want to prohibit the VA from using sensitive information until court-appointed experts determine how to safeguard it. Rick Weidman of Vietnam Veterans of America, one of the plaintiffs, says court supervision is needed to ensure the VA protects the information properly.
Every step of the way, it'll be a court-supervised process.
The laptop was stolen in a burglary last month from the Maryland home of a VA analyst. The VA says it's working with law enforcement, veterans groups, and other government agencies to protect anyone whose information may have been compromised. Gene Coletta, Washington.
Authorities in Colombia are investigating the murders of six members of the same family, saying the violent deaths may have been committed by a satanic cult. The six victims, including a child, all had their throats cut. A local human rights official says the murders may be connected to the date June 6, 2006, or 666. That's the so-called mark of the beast in the Bible. A politically charged debate over gay marriage absorbed time and attention in the Senate Tuesday. Republican leaders are pushing for a constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage. Vermont Democrat Pat Leahy said the amendment is an attempt to, in his words, write discrimination into the Constitution. The measure defines marriage as a union between one man and one woman. Supporters acknowledge the amendment has little chance of passing. Democrats call it an election year stunt designed to rally the GOP's conservative base. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back to hell. Just kidding. Seven past the hour. No, I'm not kidding. Seven past the hour. This is Air America. Still. Let's go back to some phone calls here. Michael is calling from the Bronx in New York. Michael, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, guy?
Doing fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm a little pissed off right now because I'm sure you heard the statements made by both Alberto Gonzalez and Bush and pledging to bring to justice any and all U.S. troops that have been found to have tortured and committed violent acts against Iraqis and other U.S. people. That is an absolute joke. This has nothing to do with them bringing them to justice, but rather making U.S. troops a sacrificial lambs and scapegoats, because these are the bastards that ordered the torture to begin with, and they went through months saying, we don't torture, we don't torture, we don't torture, like hell they don't. And I know something, I had a funny feeling something like this was going to happen for two reasons. The one, which is the past movies that came out. Remember, in the post-Vietnam War era, there was Platoon. And then in the post-Gulf War era, there was A Few Good Men. Both movies focusing on the struggles the troops are going through. It's like, damn if they do and damn if they don't. They have to decide, should they follow orders or should they follow their own conscience, even those orders are committing a crime. And another reason why this sounds so familiar is because we here in New York City have just been going through that crap with the previous mayor, Rudy Giuliani, and how he has corrupted the NYPD. And there was a lot of cover-ups there also. I mean, even though the current administration has declared zero tolerance of racial profiling and police abuse, and there's been somewhat reform, there's still some police officers that still think it is Giuliani time, and that's why there's that documentary that's out.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, I hear you, Michael.
So it's like, what the hell are they trying to kid, you know?
Yeah, I know. I understand. Thanks, Michael. Thanks for checking in. They once again, the Bush crime family, they don't have to answer anybody. They can do whatever the hell they want to do until they are finally removed from office. Let me see. Arnold is calling from North Canton, Ohio. Arnold, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
Good. I was just listening to Air America all day today, and I'm tapping into the lunatic fringe from the left. I've heard you ranting now for about an hour about many things you know nothing about. You know nothing about the conversations between the ambassador and the folks in Iraq. Where do you get your information about American troops butchering and killing children? What's your fact source on that?
Other communists. We sit around and make this stuff up to screw up the minds of people like you. We hate America, Arnold.
Well, I've been listening to you folks all day today. No wonder you, Rush Limbaugh, who you try to follow in pattern and style.
Oh, no. He's a real American. I hate this country. I hate you. I'm a communist. We get our information.
I'm saying you're a communist. I'm saying
I didn't say you did. I said I'm saying I'm a communist. I want to see this country turn red, completely red. I don't mean the red like you are. I mean red like real reds.
Get on and join Uncle Fidel down there in Cuba.
Oh, he's not a communist. He's a socialist.
He is. Well, what's the difference?
Yeah.
Communism is a form of government, you know.
Well, listen, Arnold, I don't want to get heavy duty with you because you're way smarter than I am. I just want to tell you, where do I get my information about Americans killing babies? I understand that's all made up. It's just something that we talk about in order to destroy America even further.
No, I want to know what your factual source is for.
We don't have any. There's no facts.
Soldiers killing babies and children.
Arnold, you're not hearing me. Now don't be
loud and clear. You're avoiding
Arnold, don't be a dumbass. I just said to you, we have no facts. We have no sources. We make this stuff up. I have a friend at the New York Times who writes cover stories. It's all fake. I have friends. No, wait, Arnold, listen up now. You called me. I didn't call you. And I put up with your insults. So I'm just trying to tell you the truth. So you can go around to other people in North Canton, Ohio, and tell them the truth.
No,
Arnold, listen. I am a sick son of a bitch. I'm a communist. I molest children. I peep in windows. And you know what else, Arnold? I'm queer.
No, I just want to know what you...
No, Arnold, I'm queer, and I may come to North Canton, Ohio, and kiss you right on your nice little lips.
I just want to know what you're...
Do you want to kiss me, Arnold?
For this information.
Arnold, I just told you. What's wrong with you? Get the potatoes. Get the potatoes out of your ears. Arnold! Hello? Arnold, get the potato dirt out of your ear. I said I don't have any sources.
Well, you know, you sound like Goebbels on the Jews.
No. I'm only interested in you tonight, Arnold. I want to kiss you. I want to make out with you. Have you ever done it with a man?
Done what?
Sex. Arnold, don't leave me! I want to have sex with you, Arnold!
Yeah.
I want to suck your earlobes! I want to run my hand in your Bermudas! Come on, Arnold! Put out, baby!
What's your faction?
Arnold, put out for me! Come on, you're my fantasy! I want to put an Iraqi flag over your head and do you all night long! Arnold, baby, talk to me!
I'm talking to you.
Ah, you're making me hot, Arnold! You're making me so hot, Arnold. Oh, Jesus, God. I got to go, Arnold. Thanks, but I can't stand it. I'm going to have to go to the bathroom. Hold on a minute. Okay, I'm back, Arnold. Oh, Arnold's gone. Oh, God, that was good for me. How about you, Arnold? Go down and hang out with Uncle Fidel. He's an old man. I like the young stuff, Arnold, like you. All of us communist America haters do, you know? Arnold, sweetheart. Jesus, who let him out of his cage? What a termite. I'm coming for you, Arnold! I'm going to tie you down and tickle you to death. You little sweetie. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
I'm thinking I'm getting rid of that.
Oh, you don't love God.
If you don't love your neighbor, if you got to about him, if you never have mercy, if he gets into trouble and you don't try to help him, then you don't love your neighbor.
Listening to the best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Country singers Bruce Robeson and Kelly Willis.
We had a gig in half an hour.
But with my allergies, I wasn't all there. I just couldn't sing.
I told her, you need Claritin D.
So I got Claritin Clear. Claritin D relieved my worst symptoms, even congestion and sinus pressure, fast, and I wasn't drowsy.
Told you, nothing works stronger, faster, or longer.
Find Claritin D on shelf or at the pharmacy counter. Used as directed among non-drowsy oral 24-hour OTC allergy products.
Live Claritin Clear.
I bought Harris to tell you about my new Smart Balanced Omega Plus Light Mayonnaise with flax oil and plant sterols. New Smart Balanced Omega Mayo has 500 milligrams of omega-3s per serving, natural plant sterols to help offset cholesterol, and half the fat and calories of regular mayonnaise. Enjoy my new Smart Balanced Omega Light Mayonnaise in salads and sandwiches. You get an omega-3 wallop in every tasty dollop of my new Smart Balanced Light Mayonnaise.
Where did those people come from? Unbelievable. The phone number here is 866-303-2270, by the way. All right, back to your calls. What I'm going to do here after the next break, a couple of these paragraphs of what Kennedy, Robert Kennedy wrote about the 2004 election being stolen, and then you're on your own, huh? Kathy is calling from Chicago. Kathy, welcome to the program. Hey, Kathy. Is Kathy there? All right, let's put Kathy on hold and go to, well, Kathy's gone. Let's go to Carl, Southside Carl in Chicago. Carl, welcome to the program.
Mike, how you doing? Haven't talked to you in a while.
I know. Where you been?
Oh, I can't keep these late hours anymore.
Yeah, well, that's true. You are getting old. That's right. I understand. Yeah. I understand. All right, what's up, Carl?
Yeah, I kind of feel sorry for Arnold.
Yeah, well, don't. Arnold is happy as a pig in snot. He's right where he wants to be over there in North Baltimore, Ohio, or wherever the hell he was calling from. He's very happy to be where he is. We shouldn't pity him.
He gets some of what I want to talk to you about. Arnold.
He just needs a little good man sex to really make his week. You know what I'm saying?
It gets to what Arnold is representing a lot of Americans, though, Mike.
I know.
Yeah, I know. It's a severe case of denial. You know, he's asking you, well, what are your facts and whatnot? I know that, well, he's probably having heard that, well, soldiers been told their family that this didn't happen.
Well,
he
no,
probably
he
hasn't seen the pictures of the
people. Yeah, but Carl, there's a mindset. Arnold has never seen a head-on collision between two cars and two families get wiped out. He's never seen that. So in Arnold's world, such a thing has never happened.
It's denial, but this is the thing.
It's insane.
I've been watching people on television all this week, especially on Fox, and they've got people on, you know, on their different shows and stuff, somewhat implying the same thing to Arnold. Well, there hasn't been a full investigation. Well, why don't we wait? You know, this a word for these people is called bigots. You know, where someone is so small and narrow-minded that they're incapable of intelligent thinking. You know, it doesn't take a genius to realize that, well, war is it basically involves them around because it's about death and destruction, not to just soldiers, but also innocent people, men, women, and children. They die in war. Sometimes the soldiers kill them by mistake or out of fear, or out of revenge, or sometimes just pure hatred. But that happens in every war. And the biggest culprit is George Bush because he pumped all of them up for this. Hey, they out to kill us. You know, this and that. And then making things even worse is, like I say, we as a country here, we believe that, well, we're so much better than everyone else. Or that's not us. But, you know, we're all humans, and we all capable of doing this. And this, what's happening right now, really probably has happened in a lot of other incidents. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff that's been happening. No one's really been held accountable. You got I remember the first one when the soldier killed the prisoners. They had the videotape of them shooting the guy. And I never heard anything happen. I never heard anything happen about the 100, I think it was more than 100 prisoners in our custody in Afghanistan that we acknowledged that that's what homicide.
Let me jump in because Carl, you see, my take on it is this. I understand, even though I've never been in combat, I understand that war and what goes with war is the result of a complete breakdown of all of our human beings' higher powers to use logic and reason and compassion and understanding. All of that goes right down the toilet when we do war. That's one of the reasons I think that so many combat veterans, especially ones in command positions, always say, no, we don't want to go to war. That's, you know,
last resort.
We don't want to do it. And I think that what makes this so atrocious given the fact that when we do go to war, stuff happens and people go berserk. They have to be berserk in order to pick up a weapon and open fire at other people anyway, even if the other person is coming at them with a bayonet and his own AK-47 blazing. You have to go temporarily insane. What makes this situation so horrible is that nobody attacked us. This is a war of choice for this son of a bitch in the White House and that sick puppet master who runs him. That's why this is so bad, so unbelievably bad.
I know, that's why he needs to be on trial, because, you know, talking about these, you know, the people below, the soldier, you know, you the head dog, you the one who chose to do this, and that's the immoral, you know better than
that's
anyone
right.
else who's starting a war. You're just as immoral as the worst of them, and as Americans, I don't think we really understand that, but, you know, that's the case. Oh, before I let you go, Tony isn't ready for prime time.
No, he isn't.
Okay.
He is not. He looks like somebody who's in the not ready for primetime players. What a fool this man is.
Well, maybe Arnold will get a clue before the night is over.
No. Arnold is happy as a pig in snot, Carl. He's right where he wants to be. Hey, thanks
okay,
for checking
bye.
In. Don't be such a stranger.
All right?
Talk to you again.
Okay.
No, don't worry about Arnold. Arnold is happy. Arnold is wallowing in a bath. He's naked, wallowing in a bathtub full of liver bile or something. He's just very happy, you know. And he put that liberal in his place tonight. That liberal smart-ass bastard on the radio there, that Mike Malloy, put him in his place. Absolutely. Kathy, let's try Kathy again in Illinois. Kathy, we got you this time.
Hello.
Hey, Kathy.
I'm fine. I was listening to Al today, and he was discussing Republicans and Christians and whatever, and I can't remember his exact conversation, but it brought to mind my point of view. Why should anyone but white Christians be in the Republican Party?
Mm-hmm.
They only talk about Christianity. They never talk about Catholics. I'm Catholic. They never talk about the Jews, the Islams, the Buddhists, nothing. Nobody else has that right of religion except Christians.
And they're not really Christians, at least not in my studied opinion. I don't mean to come across as a religious expert, but these people are not Christians. These people would beat Christ into a bloody heap given the choice.
Absolutely.
Or given the chance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just, we need to get this out to the people, and I don't know how.
Hey, hold on. Kathy, hold on. I've got to take a break, and
okay.
I've only had you on for a minute, so stay right where you are. We'll pick you up on the other side. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
The best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Al Franken, and I want to encourage you to help take back America's future. From June 12th to June 14th, the Campaign for America's Future, in partnership with Air America Radio, will be hosting the 2006 Take Back America Conference in Washington, D.C. The conference brings together thousands of progressive activists, thinkers, and leaders like Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, Robert Redford, Harry Reid, Russ Feingold, and many others to discuss the ideas, hone the message, train the organizers, and help build the infrastructure we need to ensure that the voice of the progressive majority is heard. So register online today for the Take Back America Conference, June 12th through 14th in Washington, D.C. Log on to airamericaradio.com or visit www.ourfuture.org. That's www.ourfuture.org. Sign up for this important conference. It's time for new vision, new ideas, and new energy. So please register today and help us take back America's future.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 100,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals on the iMed and Cigna Dental Networks. Call right now and you can try the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days. That's right, your membership entitles you to full access to the entire Cigna Dental Network and iMed Network for you to try risk-free for 30 days. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Start saving up to 60% off now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
We'll be right back. foreign policy decisions on some things that I think are true. One, I believe there's an Almighty.
And two, I believe there's a tooth fairy. Back to Kathy in Illinois. Kathy, thanks for holding on.
Hi.
Hey.
Well, I don't know how we're going to get this information out to other people, all the other Americans, that they're too stupid to realize that the only thing they want them for is a vote. They're not voting anything. The Republicans aren't voting anything good that helps the middle class person.
Republicans are eaten alive. They are walking dead. They are eaten up with fear. They're eaten with bigotry, with aggression. And I think most Republicans who practice this perverted form of the Christian faith also understand that I think this is part of it. I've been thinking about this. I think they understand that their particular God is either a real evil son of a bitch, or B, has turned completely away from them. And these people who attend these mega churches, these people who sanctify war and bigotry and prejudice, who say that Jesus wants rich people to have tax breaks, the ones who say that God shows favor on people who pray for things and wealth. These are people who understand that their perverted God has decided to turn his eyes away from them, and they're terrified, because the only reason they believe to begin with is because of their utter and absolute mountainous fear of their own death. So they have nothing left, nothing. And the result of that, they call this program, for example, and say, well, how do you know they're killing babies? You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, oh, by the way, Arnold is in the mission with his wife, so he's happy now.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Thanks, Kathy. Thanks for checking in.
Have a good night.
All right, you too. Appreciate what you had to say. I do believe it. I think the Pat Robertsons and the Jerry Falwells and the James Dobsons and these people of these mega churches, this Rick Warren of the who wrote this phony ass book about the authenticated life, or the one that the woman who had the mass killer down here, and they did drugs together, and they, what was
the purpose driven
life, right? Or the amphetamine-driven life, whatever. But these people understand something. The guy who wrote, what was that little booklet that came out, Kathy, a couple of years ago, about it's okay to be a greedy son of a bitch, because there's some passage in the Bible.
The prayer of Jabez.
Who in the hell is Jabez? Who's that? Some old desert Bedouin wandering around 5,000 years ago who says, I'm on two sheep. You know, what? And God said, all right, here. You know, what is this? These people who have corrupted Christianity. Not that it had any validity to begin with, but I mean who have taken the Christianity that remotely resembled somewhere in the forgotten texts, in the Gnostic Gospels, in nothing that the church, whether it's Catholic or Protestant, has put out for the past 2,000 years. That's all lies and nonsense. But I mean the real teachings of the man, Jesus, that they have so corrupted and destroyed and defecated on, with their mega churches and their hatred and their bigotry and their exclusion. It's awful. And I think these people understand clearly that their God has finally turned away from them. He's looking somewhere else. Maybe he's looking down on what's going on in Iraq. Maybe he's looking at butchered toddlers and 8-month-old babies. Or maybe he, you realize I'm just fantasizing here. Maybe he is off in some other dimension. You know, maybe he's stepped through and said, to hell with this one. These people are so screwed up. These people are so sick. I'm out of here. or not. Oh, my God, I have a star calling this program, a famous man, an author with a new book out. Ah, it's Sam Cedar. Sam is calling from, I guess, New York or Hollywood or Cannes or where are you tonight? You guys who are...
Mike, as you know, as a fellow liberal, I heard your call to Arnold.
Yeah,
and as you know, I'm flying on my corporate jet, burning up fuel right now.
That's right. That's right.
I'm actually circling over the eastern seaboard of the country.
Yeah?
On my way to an environmental rally.
Uh-huh.
But I want to say I heard your conversation with Arnold, and I heard you out yourself. I just wanted to say I still have a residency in Massachusetts, and I wanted to ask you to marry me.
Oh, Sam!
Yeah.
Sam, that's so sweet.
I want to be your best man.
Well, what about Janine?
Well, she could be, she could be our best man too.
Well, that'll work.
That was fantastic. I just had to call you. That guy. Was a very interesting fellow.
Oh, my God. Even when you agree with them, they can't accept it.
No.
You know, I admit I'm a communist, queer, who likes to eat living children or whatever fantasy he had in his mind. And I say, okay, yes, you're right. But even that wasn't good enough. He couldn't accept it. Oh, God.
No, you know, because he's not even fighting with you. He's fighting with himself.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
All right, Mike, I just wanted to say hi.
Well, how are book sales going?
The book sales are actually going well. To be honest with you, I'm shocked.
Well, don't be. The name of Sam's book, for those of you who might not listen to Majority Report like you're supposed to, is FUBAR. You all know what FUBAR means. I'd like to say it, but I can't, or I would lose my job. Sam has a new book out. You've got to read it. You've got to. Where do they get? Just go to the usual underworld sources to buy this, right?
Exactly.
And it does come with an ounce of illegal cocaine, too, doesn't it?
That's right, of course.
Because, you know,
it's every book with MDMA.
It's a book written by a liberal, so you probably have pictures in there of the inverted Christ, right?
Of course. Are you kidding?
Being eaten by snakes.
It's basically a satanic manual.
Oh, good. Good.
And we put a spell on it, and every time someone buys a copy, a conservative soils himself.
Oh, my goodness, I love it.
Yes, we had it. It was... I don't know if you heard the other night, but the stock of the people who make Depends undergarments has gone up significantly.
Oh, that's Sam. Then it's
because you know we do voodoo.
Yes,
we do the voodoo.
Yes, I know. It's working. The liberal plot to destroy the world has almost been fulfilled.
Absolutely. I mean, most of these books are laden with radioactive material.
Oh, well, I know, what's his name, the guy that's on Noon to Three, Al Franken. I know his books are radioactive. I think the ink that goes in there is made from depleted uranium.
That's correct, of course. Well, it's all part of the plot. Maybe we've said too much.
I think we probably have. Sam, good to hear from you, and I do hope the book goes well. Go buy Sam Cedar's book, FUBAR. You got to read this. Oh, by the way.
You're doing great, Mike.
When do I get my free copy?
It's coming. I'm still writing the signing page.
Okay, well, just make sure it's not one of those that has anthrax sprinkled in each, you know, in the spine of the book. Okay,
no,
those are for the right wingers.
Exactly.
All right, Sam,
thanks,
take care.
Mike.
All right,
talk to you
take
later.
Care. All right. When you get called by a New York radio personality like Sam Cedar. You are home free.
Yeah, because we're not New York radio personalities.
No, we're not. Thanks, Air America. Thanks for selling my ass off. I really appreciate it.
You're playing the evil mic again, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. Rick is calling from Worcester, Massachusetts. Rick, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. God bless liberals like Mike and Sam. That's all I can say. I'll tell you, baby.
I'll take that. Yeah.
I'll tell you this. I am the anti-Arnold. I just couldn't believe that one either. You know, I want to ask you a really serious question, though, buddy, and I really do love your show a lot. Why is it that when I call the bizarrely freaked out minority of people in Boston that are so supportive of Bush, and most people, of course, are not in Boston, but anytime I try to talk rationally, and actually, like I, as I am now, try to get an education from you about the Carlyle Group, and people react to that like you can't say that, and you know, is it? Am I being overly simplistic in thinking that they are basically the final puppeteers to Halliburton and Bechtel and all the rest of the horror show?
You're probably not. I think guys like you and me who are concerned about what we know, but really don't know maybe more than 1 or 2% of what's going on.
Right.
I think it is proper for us to assume that the Carlyle Group may be the mothership. Hey, hold on a second. Hold on. Just stay right there, Rick. I got a break. We'll take this break. We'll come back. We'll talk some more to Rick. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to the best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
In TV, you need intelligence, integrity, and a camera to cover the news. They've got the camera.
Were we rolling on that?
On what?
Comedy Central's Dog Bites Man premieres tonight at 10:30, 9:30 Central. They're the news team that won't stop until they get the big stories. Are all bodybuilders bisexual? Is spring break broken?
Well, certain stories are good for sweeps week. We've tackled what's in your muffin. Who else is going to go there?
Dog Bites Man premieres tonight at 10:30, 9:30 Central. Only on Comedy Central.
2 years ago, I had a heart attack. Right here in our restaurant. If it weren't for Bayer aspirin and some quick thinking on my son's part, who knows? To me, Bayer's an amazing thing. I mean, just think about it. The same Bayer aspirin my son takes for his backaches and my daughter for headaches helped save my life. Bayer's an important part of this family. Always will be. It truly is a wonder drug.
Genuine Bayer aspirin. Working wonders every day. Aspirin taken as directed by a doctor during a suspected heart attack. Use as directed.
Here in Washington, we're now determining the size and the shape of a package. It's not if we have a package, it's how big will the package be.
Oh, I love it when you talk that way, George. Jesus. Women
like them rule my world. 10 before the hour, back to Rick, who's called in from Worcester.
Hi, Mike.
I guess what you're looking for me to do what? To say that...
Well, you know, the thing is, you know, speaking of Sam and Janine is the only journalist I have ever heard really try to go to and talk about the Carlyle Group. I actually heard her once say that they already have Tony Blair wrapped up. And, of course, everybody knows they got majors and everything. And what I'm trying to say, buddy, is I look at what goes on in stark amazement, as you do, and I just figure I've seen there was a – I Googled it once, and there's like a 48-minute Dutch presentation of basically what the Carlyle Group and who they are and the chess games that they play with international horror shows just to keep the – you know, just to keep – the supply and demand that all the Halliburton's going, basically, is what it looks like to me. And I'm really trying to find somebody to tell me I'm wrong, to tell you the truth.
Well, I don't think you are wrong.
Yeah.
I really do think that there is. And let me answer this on the air, Rick. Thanks for checking in. I want to bring up the line. Thanks, Rick. Regarding what you said, though, I do believe. In evil. Now, a lot of people say, "Well, you can't do that unless you also believe in some sort of religious protection from evil." And to that, I say, "Oh, nonsense! I believe that evil is completely a human construct, and I believe that the evil comes from a part of our." Part of our psychological makeup or our psyche that we haven't evolved from yet. I think eventually we will, if we don't kill ourselves first. So I think the battle that the religionists or superstitious people or myth makers through history, that evil that has been put out there pretty clearly for us to see, and the myth makers who have said there is only one countervailing force to evil, and that is goodness, and that goodness comes from outside of people. You can try to internalize it, and good luck if you can do that. But there's this cosmic battle played out on the stage of the infinite universe between good and evil. And to that I say hog snot. I'm sorry. I just, you know, not the least bit interested in that sort of massive mythology. Not ever. Evil does exist, but I think it is a human construct. I think it is put together deliberately. I think it has a goal. I think Hitler's goal when he decided to use evil was to eliminate a huge segment of the population that had somehow pissed him off. I think Stalin's, you know, you can just go on and on. I'm not going to bore you with that. But I think George Bush is an evil man. I think the Carlyle Group are comprised of truly evil people because they have placed profit and money and the acquisition of things and companies and the manipulation of currencies and so on and so forth as their priority, as their that has become their the life force from which they think they are drawing energy, which in fact it's to which they give their energy, and they become, they're still alive, these people on Carlyle, but they are not really alive. They are just husks of people. They're soul dead. So I know that doesn't answer the question that you asked. I understand. I don't believe in that we're all being manipulated by the Club of Rome or that the Council on Foreign Relations. These are the CFR. These are organizations that not necessarily the CFR, but these organizations everybody talks about. They put on their tinfoil hats and say, "Ooh, what about this organization?" It's evil, but it doesn't really have it's not an organizing force on the human race. It would like to be. I'm sure the Carlyle Group would like to be able to tax every human being on Earth in one manner or another. You know, have a piece of the action of everything that any of us do every time we buy a can of peas someplace. I'm sure the Carlyle Group investors would love to get a percentage of that sale. In that respect, they're evil because their focus is nothing more than this materialistic kind of money god kind of thing. The Book of Jabez or the Prayer of Jabez. All of it, I think, ties together on that level, not consciously ties together. But this form of Christianity that's belched out of hell in the past few years, this prosperity Christianity, which is absolutely counter to the message in that part of the Christian Bible that survived all the beatings and flailings and excisions by the Council of Nicaea and the people who perverted what this man Jesus tried to say 2,000 years ago. Even after beating it to death, these crazy Christian bastards still operate in violation of their own holy text, what they consider to be holy text. It says in there repeatedly, Jesus didn't like rich people. He wanted them all to go to hell. Look who he hung out with. Jesus. He didn't hang out, excuse me. Jesus. The people he hung out with were the poor, the sick, the dead, the nearly dead. And then you have these profiteering so-called Christians. Damn you, really, you know, damn you. That would be like all of a sudden if Hindus said that the real message of Gandhi was to build huge castles and ride bejeweled elephants. You freaks are out of your minds. You really are out of your minds. But I understand your insanity because your God has turned away from you forever. You're going to have to face your own death on your own. This is Air America.
Best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Hi, I'm David Oreck. You'll never find a Rolex watch in a superstore, or for that matter, an Oreck vacuum. That's because you're judged by the company you keep. If you want an amazingly powerful 8-pound Oreck vacuum, visit one of my Oreck stores, or call me at 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and I'll send you one to use free for 30 days. It's worth the time, and it won't cost you a dime.